Welcome to Good for a Weekend,
the podcast where two friends talk about Taylor Swift
and share your spicy confessions.
I'm Cressy Cornis.
And I'm MK Ashford.
Our third ever Swifty Confessions episode will be coming out on April 11th. It will be a very special episode because it's our 100th.
You have until April 1st to email us your Swifty Confessions to gfaweekend@gmail.com. Please include what you'd like to be called as well and your preferred pronouns.
And if you're a new weekender, here's a quick explanation of what we're looking for in your Swifty confession.
We want to hear your spiciest hot takes, embarrassing moments as a fan, unpopular opinions, hills that you would die on, your crazy fan theories, and anything else Taylor related that you'd like to confess to us.
Think of us as your specially appointed Swifty therapist.
Did you weirdly like Taylor and Maddie Healy? Are you a me defender? Do you think 1989 is overrated? Are you a Joe Alwyn apologist? Whatever it is, we're listening.
We are accepting submissions now, right now. So be sure to send yours to gfaweekend@gmail.com by April 1st. All we ask is that you please include what you'd like us to call you as well as your preferred pronouns so we can discuss your confession properly.
And we're so excited to hear what you have to spill.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian, and we are giving away two tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA Plus, and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks.
Welcome back to the best hair in all of podcasting. What podcast? Lord Taco, Barry Quarter. I'm Brad. Welcome in to yet another episode about very little. Barry, Taco, how are you guys?
The show that won't go away.
Yeah.
Please, yeah. God, go away.
Please, God. Yeah. How are you guys?
I'm doing great. Doing great.
What is that going on behind you? Wait, you're not on the bus. Taco, what's happening?
No, this is where I do the Twitch streams from.
Oh, my God. We're inside of his homeland. Barry.
There's going to be a little blue princess on that screen right behind him.
Yeah.
Keep watching.
A blue-haired mom pop out of a closet any moment now.
Blue-haired mom.
Hey, Barry, do you know what's crazy? How long have I known Taco? I've never been to his house.
Wow. That's
Isn't
a good
that
one.
Crazy?
Yeah. I've never been there either. Well,
it's like, Barry, well, you'd have to leave. You'd have Barry, to leave the state.
Yeah, Barry, it's a different state. You're not coming. But of all those times, like, the only thing I think I did, they showed up to your driveway once. I think that was about it.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Did he meet you? Did he come running out? Did he come running out and meet you? Yeah. Yeah. I actually went to Brian Stone's house the other day and he wouldn't let me in. He said, text me when you're here. I'll come out.
Yeah. Taco wouldn't let me in. He sent one of his ladies out. He sent one of the ladies out to get me. And the thing about Brian's house is that the reason why he won't let you in is that, you know, he's got some sort of body in there. I mean, he has got some sort of, I'm not saying he's Jeffrey Dahmer.
I know what you mean by body.
I think he's cutting up some sort of raccoon in there in some form or fashion.
I know what you mean by body.
Yep. I've been in his garage. That's the closest I've gotten. I think I picked up carpet.
Boy, all of that sounds really sexual. Everything that you just said sounds very oddly. Oh, I got in his garage and picked up this carpet.
Picking up carpet.
That's what you mean by body. There's somebody in there and he can't remember her name. And he doesn't want to have to try to introduce you. He's like, I'd let you in, but I don't know her name.
Yeah. I'd have to go through this whole thing again. And I have no idea who this person is. That's so good. By the way, I'm wearing a jacket. Let me take this jacket off.
Yeah, you're looking a little
sexy music.
Little businessy. Now you look like a priest. What do you look like a priest? Yeah. What is that?
What? It's a black shirt, Barry. Is that
like
okay?
Off duty priest makes me nervous. Put the jacket back on.
Wait,
Wait, makes me a little nervous.
Did you say an off-duty priest?
Yeah, at the end of the day type. It took the collar off.
Okay, wait a second. I know, but you are the Catholic one, and you can tell me what's right or wrong, but is a priest ever off-duty?
No, technically no. But like, but when the collar loosens, they're kind of, that's about as close as they get to off-duty.
They get some off-priest hours, so they hit up the clubs and throw some dollar bills down.
Pop that collar. Let's go out.
Get some beer and go cruising for babes, guys. Let's go.
Means a different
over,
thing.
Time to go drink.
Totally different meaning for pop that collar.
Yeah, I'm learning more about the Catholic faith as I live and breathe. So, I guess that's the show. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Good talk as always. Good seeing you guys.
So what do we have this week? What do we want to explore? What kind of topics do we want to dive into, Dad?
Well, by Dad, I assume you mean me. I think I'm kind of excited.
Who else would I be talking to?
I don't know.
Has anybody else acquired the Dad nickname in this room?
I'm willing to pass it on. I'm actually excited. I'm excited about next year's festival season. We've had several conversations within, the last 10 days, and I think Russ and I, and you, I know you and I talked, and then Russ and I talked, and I think we have some pretty cool plans in place, and I'm ready to get ready for next year.
Are you booking a festival? What kind of plans are you talking about?
It's going to be on my front porch, because I'm never leaving the house. No. No, we have some ideas for the show that I'm pretty excited about. We kind of launched one this week, and
The first question is, and it always is the first question: how does this affect me?
There's not a lot of work for you.
Oh my God! Then I'm in.
It's going to work.
Oh God, I've never been happier in my life.
Good news is the work's already done.
The work is already done. And that's why it has a chance. We don't have to rely on that's why it has a chance. What we're going to do, we've been talking with the folks at Consequence and then among ourselves, and we've realized we've been doing this 4 years, going on five, and we have a lot of great material in the bank. And so what we're going to do is go back.
No money, but material.
Different kind of bank. Cash. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. No money. But we're going to go.
Bank is empty.
Yeah.
Somebody's bank is not.
Somebody is not. But ours is. We're going to go back and listen to some of our previous shows and pull clips and put those out as bonus material during sort of this quiet time. I mean, let's be honest. The big festivals are done. The rumor mill will start up pretty soon. And then in January, typically, we'll start getting festival lineups. And that's kind of the beginning of our next season. But we thought we have all this material, and it's all, I call it evergreen. It's just as relevant today as it was when we did it, you know, with band interviews and industry people interviews. And so we're
maybe not our Bonnaroo picks. Maybe that's not the
right.
Most.
No, no. Or yeah, line
let's go back to my let's go back to my 2020 picks.
Yeah, we're not going to go back to that, or you know, who's on the lineup or who's not on the lineup. Those things won't. But when we interview a band that is on, you know, a 2019 or a 2020 lineup, we didn't necessarily talk about that year's festival. We talked to the band about their music, so it's still relevant. So we're gonna start putting that stuff out. And
how much content are you talking? How long are these little snippets gonna be?
2, 3, 4, 5 minutes. I think five is probably a good number.
Well, you know, if it's 5 minutes, we could call it a high five.
See, I think that's a great idea.
See?
We could call it the What Podcast.
And
high
you said
five.
I didn't have any responsibilities here whatsoever.
You're the idea guy. You're a giver.
You know, if you did two, maybe it's a 5 minute and a 5 minute. You had a 10 minute segment. You could call it a double high five.
Double high five. See, that's why you're the. That's why you're the man.
Cash or credit. It will be cash or credit.
Yeah. show up, give the idea, and disappear.
Yep.
Yeah. You come up with the idea. Yep. Now we got to do the work.
Bye-bye.
Then we got to do the work.
Every weekend.
Yeah.
No, you've just described my entire career. That's been my entire career for 20
years.
And
look at you. Look at you. Look where you are now.
No, I love that. I love that idea. The other thing, too, that I would like to chronicle probably is maybe, you know, in the corner of the screen, you maybe give like a hair rating, you know, what Barry is for that day out of a, you know, out of a 5, maybe Barry's a 4. And of course, I would be a 5. You know,
yeah, it'd be
PBRs Taco was into.
I was getting ready to say it'd be a whole lot like Taco's PBR ratings. Never, never less than a 4, never a 5.
It's a 4.
It's a 4.
It's 4 out of 5. I mean, it's just PBR.
Okay, out of that, you know, that's a great point. You know, you put one of these out last week, right? And it was with Ashley Capps, right?
Yep.
Okay, so I'm sure Taco, you listened to it, you watched it. Out of 5, how many stars do you give that snippet?
That was a 5.
Oh, wow. I thought it'd be a 4. I thought they'd always be fours.
It's not PBR.
No, it's even better than PBR. How about that? We still haven't even won an award. How is there not some sort of like podcasting, you know, festival podcast award not, you know, been given to us? I mean, isn't there like the Federal Podcasting Commission that could, you know, call us up and be, you know what, we've looked at every festival podcast.
There is a universe out there, but you have to pay to get in. It's like $500 to enter.
Back to that money bank thing.
I think we deserve a blue ribbon.
We do. Wow. Can you
know what? I mean, I think that every
put
episode...
Put that on the logo.
We need to figure out if it's a blue ribbon episode. I love that. Maybe it's a, you know... You have to tell us. You have to tell us if it's a good enough episode, Taco.
Yeah, I'll review them. Okay. I'll let you know my thoughts.
Okay. And then maybe let us know if the episode is a baby or not. Clarify just in case if it is a baby or not a baby, because sometimes in this digital world, I have no idea.
Boy, let's hope it's not a baby.
God.
I always hope for no babies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a whole nother. You know, I agree with him. I thought the Ashley Capps episode was a 5, and I think it's relevant because he talks about the importance of Bonnaroo and what it meant. I mean, when we talked to him, this was in 2018, but we kind of talked about the beginning of the festival, 2003 and 4, and what it meant. And it's kind of funny. You know, I had introduced you to him at Forecastle, and, you know, you made a comment that that got a pretty great reaction from him. You said, thank you for saving music.
I mean, I told him the truth.
Yeah.
Because if not for Bonnaroo, there would be a lot less bands with an opportunity. You know, it rejuvenated the entire festival scene that would take over the next decade and a half.
Yeah.
You know,
not just the festival scene. And I think he and you make the point that people like us wouldn't know about certain bands if it weren't for festivals. Portugal the Man, I think, was the example. And that's the truth. You know, it became the festival scene created this attitude of, I want to know what else. I want to discover something that I don't know about. And that's not where music was at the time. And so I thought it was a great answer and a really good interview. And
well, I mean, I'll be totally honest. I mean, I would never have fallen in love with Alabama Shakes the way that I fell in love with them and Brittany, if not for Bonnaroo.
Yeah.
No way I would have found Courtney Barnett. No way I would have found Black Keys. No way
Bahamas.
I would have found Cagey Elephants.
My Morning Jacket for me.
Sure. I mean, sure. You know,
those guys, they weren't getting a lot of radio airplay. They're now huge. I mean, imagine... Mm-hmm. Imagine them without the festival scene. So yeah, I thought it was an important conversation.
Yeah, I mean, you get in front of a crowd that you never were able to get in front of before. You know, and then it rejuvenizes an industry like mine, who, you know, looks around and especially at that time we didn't have streaming numbers to go on. We had to go by, you know, a lot of times gut, a little bit of research, and then ticket sales, you know, who's selling tickets. And if you if you think that, you know, at the time Alabama Shakes is going to sell a ticket, give me a break. But then they get on a festival stage and all of a sudden they get exposed to a completely new audience off to the races.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I don't know. It turns out I tend to bloviate just a tad bit on occasion. So you could rightfully accuse me of maybe overstating it a bit, but you know, I think that you understand the thread, the point that I was trying to make.
Oh, I thought it was spot on, and Ashley's answer is spot on, and not to pat ourselves on the back, though that's exactly what we're doing. We've had some great interviews with people within the industry that he, you know, Ashley being one of them. There's a lot of other ones, from artists to industry people. And we just thought, man, we need to find a way to get that back out there. And in a short way, you can listen to just 5 minutes. And if you're interested, you can go back and listen to the whole thing. We'll have links and all that sort of stuff. So.
Good.
Yeah. Especially if you just found the show, if you just started listening, you know, last year or something.
Exactly.
We do have a lot of content that we want to try to bring up.
And a lot of inside jokes that you're going to have to catch up on. Because we have really hit the gas on the inside jokes.
Yeah. There's a whole vernacular to learn.
But it's fun. And if you love festivals, it's we hope you love the show. And again, to give Taco a bunch of credit, he continues to tweak the website. You've added some new things just this week, right?
I have. We have a search now because we've got so many episodes that sometimes it's hard to remember what we've gone back to talk about. So search them up. We've added some little timestamps to certain episodes that have key moments to go in. Yep.
Big time.
Ooh, that is. That's very clever. Look at you. The search feature is nice because I have no idea what we've done. I have no earthly idea. I mean, Barry brought up an interview earlier today. I was like, I don't remember doing that.
Yeah, I know. Me either.
Yeah. We're up to like 130-something episodes at this point.
Oh, God almighty. You're kidding me.
No.
Stop it.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but neither one of you is that interesting that I want to hear 135.
We blew past our 100th episode and didn't do anything special?
Correct.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. All right. Well.
Wow.
Sort of like your Christmas present. I can just do it late.
Yeah. We'll hit the next 100. How about that?
All right. So, outside of the we got a clip for today. Are we going to do a high five today?
Yeah, but I don't know what it'll be yet.
Okay. Good.
That's a good. We're going to have one. We'll definitely have one. I think Russ and I, Brad, you won't have to do anything. So, you know,
oh God, just keep saying that and I feel so much better.
I think Russ and I, we're going to figure out what it's going to look like and all that. So we'll definitely have one for today. And then we'll probably do these, for the rest of October and a little bit into November. And then we are currently lining up pretty cool guest to kick off November. Been talking with some of the folks over at Live Nation about some of the plans that they have for next year. And we're going to have some guests on our show that will announce some big changes that they have in store.
What do you mean? You're being awfully vague.
I am being vague because they're still trying to work out the details. But
who is they?
The folks at Live Nation, the people that put on Bonnaroo.
Okay.
Some of the same people that we talked with from Moon River, the local Chattanooga festival, it's all kind of Live Nation, C3, AC Entertainment. We had good experience with that, and out of that, we've been having some conversations, and they want to come on our show and talk about some big changes that they have planned for next year. And that also is part of the reason I'm kind of re-energized about the whole thing experience. I was thinking about it this week. We talked about heading into 2022 Bonnaroo that this felt like a reboot kind of year. That because of the pandemic and all the different, the economy, all the different things, that it just felt like this was a year that people who put on these kind of events were going to take stock at the end and figure out what worked and what didn't work. And I believe that is the case. I think that's, and I know I mean, I'm being vague, but
I think that you're right. Well, yeah, you are being vague, but I think that you're right. I don't know if I'm as confident that it's going to get any better next year. I do think that, you know, Bondurant is going to have a much better year, and maybe Coachella still be fantastic, and you know the When We Were Youngs are still going to exist and pop up. But I don't know if the ground changes and shifts all that much when it comes to this kind of stuff.
You're talking about the numbers, the big one, the fact that there are so many and they're all going to change.
I think you're still going to lose a lot of festivals, and it's still very, very hard to do. In fact, weirdly enough, my company just announced a beach festival in Miami, and I was just on the periphery of a lot of the planning of it, with no real responsibilities whatsoever, just like I like it. And I
sounds like the show.
Yeah, I know, it's perfect. And I watched how, you know, difficult it still was, even to this day, to find the right artists at the right money. Everybody is so booked, and everybody is trying to get what they can. And I'll be honest, it hasn't stopped even through the first of next year. The first quarter of next year is just as busy and just as overloaded with 5, 6, 7 holds in some rooms. I don't know. I don't know if it lightens up, and I don't know if it gets unclogged. I just don't know.
I don't disagree with that. It's a macro versus micro thing, I guess. I agree with you. I think we'll probably lose a lot. I think that the economy will fix that, the market. I guess what I'm thinking of
is... Well, we have too many to begin with.
Correct. What I'm thinking of is the ones that will survive are the ones that are taking a really hard look at how they do things as it relates to the fan experience. And the ones who figure it out and fix it are the ones that are going to survive. And I guess that's where I'm coming from. And we'll talk about that. I mean, we have the reason we do this show is because we've all agreed that that's what we think Bonnaroo has done well. They look at things from a fan's perspective. And from what I'm hearing and what I'm gathering, they are taking a hard look at that, and we'll see if it works. I mean, they still, you know, they're the ones who are asking people to camp in a field in Manchester, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. You know, that's that you're asking a lot. And I think they're trying to figure out how to make that work and more appealing, and they're going to come on our show and talk about it. So
good.
Yep.
Well, they're welcome anytime. As are any festival organizers that would like to come on and chat, we'd love to have the content. I promise you, you're going to be welcome here on the What Podcast, any and all festival coordinators, organizers, bookers, accountants, ticket takers, car parkers, valets. We'll take them all.
Come on, be funny.
Just be funny and no hugging.
Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian, and we are giving away 2 tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA+, and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks.
So there's another thing that I thought that we wanted to bring up. Oh yeah, but about your vagueness though, you're dancing around. You said changes. What kind of changes are you speaking of, Barry?
Structure. This will not. I don't think we're going to talk about lineup B type of things at this point. But just how it's organized from the fans' perspective. So. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get in. I don't think I can get into it any more than that because there's still a lot being hashed out. But it will be significant.
Well, I mean, if you haven't said anything to me, but if I had to guess, I mean, I think that there are probably three to half a dozen things that the normal Bonnarooian, even the guy that didn't go, can probably go down the list and say, yeah, that's probably what they're going to address next year. I think that some of these are low hanging fruit that we can all sure. probably assume are going to be fixed. Unless yeah. you're completely, you know, blind.
Yeah, I mean, what was the biggest topic last year? I mean, I'll go ahead and what was the biggest chatter last year?
The second toll booth or the second yeah. entrance.
I bet that gets fixed.
Yeah.
I would be very comfortable
hey, by the way,
in saying, by the way, I bet that gets fixed.
Yeah, by the way, what was the, did we talk about this or not? How did you guys like the jam tracks?
We never used it because the word we got was it was just so awkward. It was a
singular. What do you mean?
It was a singular loop, and it was.
I don't understand.
So it was just a loop.
Make it sound like it was a hamster wheel.
Well, it was so.
Oh, you're talking about the loop around.
Around the camp area.
Got it. Okay.
So if you got on at say Plaza 1, you had to go all the way around to 10. And it took, you know, you could have walked it in that amount of time.
Really?
And it filled up, right? I mean, Russ, you probably heard from more folks than I did.
I also think they didn't have enough vehicles to get everybody around, so the wait times were a lot longer.
Yeah. So, I mean.
Great in theory. And it's something that can just get better.
Just get fixed. Yeah, have them going two-way. I mean, there's all kinds of... Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of it is some of that is probably related, if you remember, to staffing. You mm-hmm. know, the numbers were so low, they didn't have the same number of volunteers and gates and all of that. So, you know.
In your opinion, and you're probably reading between the lines, in the conversations that you've had, do you think that they know a cause to why the numbers were down last year? Do you think they know why?
I think they have theories, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Theories are one thing. Do they know?
Well,
everybody has theories. I mean, you can theorize all you want to, but a company that big, they're not doing dollars and cents based on theories.
I think they have a really good idea, yes.
Okay.
Yes. And
well, if they do, cause the reason I ask is if they do, you know, that's an easy thing to identify as something to be fixed.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And quite honestly, I think a lot of it, I felt a lot of that, what you're asking at our Moon River Festival, which,
what do you mean?
With, as we said in our last show, what, 3-4 weeks ago, when it rained out, they came immediately and announced we're going to give refunds, and then they gave them within 8 days.
Right.
And they, you know, fixed that Sunday night thing. Now, the Sunday night thing was partly because they had Drew Holcomb, who was the curator, and, you know, and it was a small town. It was a small event. But the thing that I took away from that was they knew they needed to do right by the fans, and they did.
Yeah, and also I'm sure they had a staff that was large enough to handle the size of the festival, which wasn't that big to begin with. But it was the staff wasn't a concern, and you know, to be fair, Bonnaroo kind of came. I know it sounds crazy to say. I know I'm going to get blistered for this. But it kind of snuck up on everybody. Yeah, if you're a company that is running, you know, 17 other festivals, 50 other different music venues, you know, and something's already been well-worn in the past, and it's been taken care of and easy-peasy for so many years, and then all of a sudden some new operators have it, and then they look around the calendar like, oh, I guess we should, that's now, huh?
Yeah.
And things get missed that way.
Yeah, there's a lot that... There's a lot that happened in those 2.5 years, and the word I got was we learned, you know. Mm-hmm. And the other point is I keep bringing up Moon River, but the other point is it's the same people.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not the exact same 10, but 3 or 4 of the 10, mm-hmm. you know. It's the same organizations.
It's kind of crazy to think that the same person that, that issued somebody a refund at Moon River is probably the exact same person that issued a refund at Bonnaroo from 2 years ago. You know, it's not like the job responsibilities change that often, you know?
Well, in some ways, back to your earlier point from a minute ago, it kind of did because they switched companies and there was a lot of moving parts and we were coming at, yeah, so... I think what I'm hearing and what I'm gathering is they sort of sat back, said we need to get a handle on this again, and and what do we do and how do we make this right, and that's what I'm hearing. I mean, I'm hearing good. Positive.
Well, I mean
stuff.
That sounds positive.
Yeah,
sounds
that's what positive. I'm hearing. Well, you know, obviously the proof is in the tasting, so we'll see. But everything I'm hearing is I know everybody says it's in the pudding, but it's actually the tasting of the pudding. You gotta anyway. Well,
that's deep.
Lord Taka, put it on the board. It's another one.
It's another one. Write it down. It's not just the proofs in the pudding, it's the tasting of the pudding.
The tasting.
I mean, for a guy that has these sayings that really don't make any sense, the exquisite level of detail you have placed on this specific one is kind of odd. It's a little out of character. The proof is in the tasting.
You want to know my favorite one that everybody says that's wrong? And I can't even remember it.
Good. Nailed it.
I just went blank. Right.
Okay.
I'll think of it. Keep talking. I'll think of it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the one that will never, it'll never get right. You know, I've heard it now. Too many times, you know, at the time when I first heard it, I said to myself, what did he just say? But when our campmate about 7 years ago looked around, was explaining to us about something, he was fishing in a creek somewhere. Yeah, yeah. And he looks like, I mean, it was assholes to elbows back there. And I cocked my head and I said, it's a what? I had never heard that before in my life. And that spurred an entire weekend of us just making up ridiculous. It's like wearing moon boots in the desert. You know, it became the most ridiculous analogies that you could make.
Hard as I've laughed in forever.
I've never heard that before in my life. And, you know, unfortunately, at the time, I was, you know, just trying to be a dick. But now I've heard it so many times.
Yeah, it was funny. Yeah. The one I was trying to think of is have your cake and eat it too. The actual saying is eat your cake and have it too.
Well, that changes everything.
Well, it does.
Oh, my God.
It does.
Now I get it. Now it makes sense.
You can't eat it and still have it, but you can have it and eat it. It makes, think about it. There you go.
Boy, you're blowing my mind.
I'm a giver. I've given you guys something.
All right. I feel like there was something else, and I've totally lost what it was.
Let's talk lineup just for a second, because recently Dead & Company put out their summer tour, and they're booked on the weekend of Bonnaroo, so they're probably a no-go.
You know what?
They've already got dates.
I'm glad you brought that up. The other thing, too, you know, I made some pretty forceful demands a couple weeks ago, and going to be 0-for-1. Because Rage Against the Machine, that's not happening. I mean, that dude's leg is not going to be ready in time for Bonnaroo. So,
man, I'm stunned because you were, you know, your plea was passionate, logical.
I mean,
forceful.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe they didn't make the call right then and there.
I guess you're not going.
Yeah,
that's, you know,
that's tough. Didn't work.
That's tough.
Yeah. So, R.I.P. Brad, because I blew it. I blew it 0-for-1.
Well, you can't eat your cake and have it too, I guess.
Yeah, you can't break your leg and go to Bonnaroo too. So the other thing too was, so there's Rage, there's Dead & Company, and oh God, I thought there was another one that came around this week. Oh, that's what I was gonna say. You mentioned guests earlier today. Man, do I think that I'm really close to maybe the biggest guest we've ever had on this show.
Don't tease me.
I really shouldn't. I shouldn't jinx it like this, but I mean, it's been said to me that it is such a sure thing. And whenever somebody, by the way, whenever somebody in this industry tells you it's a totally sure thing, I never buy it. I totally.
Yeah, it usually means he's going to get fired within the next 4 weeks, doesn't it?
Well, it usually means that I'm saying this is a totally sure thing, so you'll stop asking me and I'll come up with an excuse why it won't work out later.
Yeah, I had it arranged, but somebody else screwed it up. I get it.
Man,
that.
It is going to be such a big get. And it will, I mean, Taco, what would be the one mom that could come on the show that you wouldn't be able to talk to? Like, if there was a celebrity mom that was like, I can't speak. I'm so flummoxed. There's no way that I could muster a word.
Mom?
Yeah.
Are there celebrity moms?
I mean, Angelina Jolie is a celebrity mom. Rachel Bilson is a celebrity mom.
Well, they're celebrities who are moms, I guess.
Okay, you know what I'm saying. God, okay. I mean, it's just like trying to.
We're splitting. We're going to split hairs. That's our new thing.
Right. point being is it's going to be so big, I don't know if Barry will be able to muster words.
Don't tease me.
It's going to be big.
I'm counting on it.
We'll get Barry's hopes up.
It's going to be my Christmas, isn't it?
You know, I've got some really, really good gifts ready for you. By the way, we talked about this on the air. I have come up with an idea for Taco's birthday / Christmas. And I've told Barry, your thoughts. How good is it?
Oh, it's a home run. There might be tears.
Okay.
There might be actual tears.
Oh, yeah, there might be tears. So years ago, it took me about a year and a half before I knew Russ's actual name. I only ever knew him as Lord Taco. And so one day for Christmas, I decided to look up how to be a Lord. How do you actually get the, you know, thing of how do you really legally become a Lord? So you have to own property in England to be a Lord. You have to be crested by the government and own a piece of property. So I went on one of these websites and I bought Russ a 5-foot by 5-foot plot of land on Hogun Manor that he is officially just, you know, on the one caveat that he renounces his American citizenship and he can then become the lord of this piece of property and officially be Lord Russ Jackson, hence Lord Taco. So, yes, you are legally a lord.
That's true.
Should you want to say goodbye to your friends, family, and country. Now, that gift was great.
See ya.
Barry, do you think this gift is better than the lordship that he was?
Well, I would just say that gives people listening an idea of the bar, because that's pretty good. That's pretty good. That's,
yeah.
So. Yes.
Wow. It's a tad more expensive.
But it will be worth it to watch Russ.
And it will be a show thing. It will be something that we can do with the show.
Absolutely.
So it's not just a benefit. So it's not just a benefit for, you know, Russ, but it's a benefit for you, the podcast listener. So, you know, if you want to make this dream happen, you can Venmo me. Because I desperately need to fund this idea.
Why are you getting Venmo'd for my birthday?
Trust me. It'll be worth it. It'll be so worth it. But yes, right. Anything you can offer me at Brad Stinks on Venmo to make this birthday / Christmas present happen would be appreciated. It would have to be in the spring of next year. I think it has to be in the spring of next year.
Okay. You keep saying birthday / Christmas. Those are two different things, and neither of them are in the spring.
I know that, but if I can present you this gift at Christmas for the spring, then it would be.
I see. Okay.
It'll be a handwritten coupon. Dear Russ, here's your gift.
It's like an IOU.
Okay, guys, I'm not trying to be Mr. New York all of a sudden, but in one show, I have heard the word vehicle and coupon.
Well, how do you say it?
Vehicle and coupon.
Coupon.
Yeah, those are wrong.
Look at this idiot. He doesn't even know how to say vehicle. All right. Anything
can't
else?
Can't even say Calliope.
Okay.
I know. Love it.
What else do you want to get into? Anything else before we go? Before you get into the next high five.
Yeah,
I'm excited. I'm excited to see what it's going to be.
You and I will find out together.
Yeah,
me too.
We'll all find out together. Yeah.
We'll all find out together. Go to thewetpodcast.com. And oh, hey, there's merch. There's merch there too. We didn't even mention that. We still have t-shirts.
Something we probably need to mention too. We don't do a very good job of saying this, but rating and reviewing always really helps.
Absolutely.
You know, it's first off, if you have nothing nice to say, then I would just, you don't say anything. But, you know, I would say I prefer the 5 stars, but if you would like to go the Lord Taco route and just give 4, I'm okay with that.
4 stars is very respectable.
Can always improve.
I'm okay with a 4-star.
Always room for improvement.
So yeah, if you rate and review, it helps. And it turns out, and I was, talking to somebody who does this for the company, but, there's a difference between just rating and reviewing. Just rating is not good enough. The rating almost is nice, but it's the review that really hits the algorithm better, right? So if you have both of these things, then the algorithm sees the podcast and it populates it in more places. And the more places that we are populated and the higher we are in the level, that means more Venmo money for me so that I can produce this A-plus level Christmas present for us. Make this happen.
It's all about me.
Yeah. I'm trying to make it all about you. Yes. All right. Yeah. All right, let's get into this high five, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Hi, this is James Mercer from The Shins.
This is Shirley Manson.
This is Lotte Holst, co-founder of The Cure.
This is Huey Lewis giving you the story behind the song.
The story behind the song is back with an exciting second season. We peel back the layers on music's most iconic hits with legendary artists like The Killers, Heart, The B-52s, Violent Femmes, Jewel, Huey Lewis, Modern English, and more. To keep the music flowing, we'll be sprinkling in classic episodes from our archives between each new one. So check out The Story Behind the Song wherever you get your podcast.
And for anybody that hasn't ever been to Bonnaroo, the thing that is remarkable is a couple of years ago, 5 years ago or so, these things didn't exist. So now you have something to do pretty much all day and all night, and it becomes in and of itself its own festival, its own individual thing, which I gotta imagine can end up getting a little pricey. At what point do you start saying, we're just out of money?
We've given you enough. Go ahead.
At the beginning.
That's the beginning.
About 6 months ago.
Exactly.
Because you guys really spare no expense. And the reason I ask that, like, you go to the House of Love, right? A couple of years ago. The place has done phenomenally well. You guys do not, it doesn't feel like you miss a detail. And what I've always loved about Bonnaroo is that when you go to the user experience inside the festival, you can't really find a place where they've missed a tiny detail. And you guys really pay attention to those outside into the festival grounds or into the campgrounds. And I got to imagine at some point you're like, well, how can we just do this for free, right? How can we just arts and crafts our way to making this work? And that, to me, requires an amount of energy, bodies, human beings, hands, creativity that, you know, can't all be done with, you know, just, you know, 3 or 4 people, right?
So, I mean, totally. It's definitely a heavy lift. We're very lucky that the Palombine team, including Bobby, has some really, really awesome relationships. And so it's a balance, right? Like, obviously, we have a budget, but then we have a huge plethora of artists that are already playing the festival that hopefully, because Bonnaroo is a little out of the way, a lot of them are sticking around for the weekend and see these opportunities as something exciting and different and a great marketing moment for them. And so it's a little bit of both. It's working with Bobby and their team to figure out how we can use their relationships and people, you know, artists on site that are reaching out to them that might want to do something different or are like, hey, we're going to be there all weekend. Is there a way to get a little bit of extra cash? And then obviously some of it is just kind of going for the big ones and just seeing if we can figure out a way to get them to understand what it is and do something different than what they're normally used to doing.
I want to come back, Sophie, to the plazas and all of that, but I want to ask Bob some of the same questions. Is it Bobby or Bobby? Which do you prefer?
Oh, either one's fine. Bobby's fine.
Okay, you got it, Robert.
I want to ask this sort of the same question because I think these two things, the events, the experiences in the plazas and the other stage and the EDM, are two of the bigger changes that we've seen in the last 4, 5, 6 years.
Right. It's really thrown a breath of fresh air into the whole festival.
Made a huge
right?
difference, and that's what I want to come back to. But I want to let's get caught up with Bobby and the EDM stages. What was your charge? What was the mission that they said, go do this and do it for, like Brad said, for free? No, I'm sure they didn't.
You know, it's interesting because some of the most legendary and most talked about sets out of Bonnaroo in the last 10 years have been those from the electronic acts, you know, Pretty Lights, you know, until 6 in the morning, Deadmau5 Late Night, Bass Lecter Late Night. You know, some of those sets are categorized as the most legendary performances of the history of Bonnaroo. So it was only natural to kind of give that space its own area within Cineroo. And the first 3 years of booking this stage, it was very much an experiment, trying to figure out what the Bonnaroo audience was interested in. And we didn't want to just assume that everyone liked the same thing. So we booked a little bit of everything. You know, we booked the first year probably, you know, an act out of every single subgenre that we possibly could to take the crowd's temperature. But this year, I feel like we really zeroed in, and it takes a lot of communication and working in tandem with Brian and Steven and Sophie to really present a coherent offering. You know, we can't do what we do without communication. So, you know, I need to know what's going on the other side of the park just as much as Brian and Steve need to know what's going on with the other stage. So it's all one unit moving towards the same goal. So I'm not over there just booking on an island.
Another What Podcast high five. To see more of this and more of our interviews with a spectrum of artists, influencers, podcast people, go to thewhatpodcast.com or the What Podcast on Twitter. Is it the What Podcast or the What _ Podcast?
It's the What _ Podcast because somebody already took the name the What Podcast.
I'm sure he's getting a lot of mileage out of it.
Yeah. They haven't posted since 2016. So.
See, he's so good. So good. Yeah. All right. Let's talk to you next week.
Consequence Podcast Network.